The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
This edition of Ron Paul's Podcast Nation is made possible by sponsors like Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your computer files to the cloud automatically and continually. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use offer code RON and get 2 bonus months with purchase.
This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation.
It was not long ago that most Americans had never heard the name Al-Qaeda, and now we're told that we're engaged in battling Al-Qaeda everywhere, except, of course, where we're aiding Al-Qaeda. Let's sort all this madness out, Al-Qaeda and foreign policy, with Ron Paul right after this.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
You know it's important to back up your computer files, right? So when was the last time you did it? Well, right now, while you're listening to me, Carbonite could be backing up your computer files for you. Carbonite backs up your computer files to the cloud automatically and continually whenever your computer is connected to the internet. Plus, with Carbonite, you can access your backed up files on any computer or on your smartphone or tablet with a free app. You can even email a file right from the Carbonite app. Unlimited backup space for your PC or Mac is just $59 a year. And if you run a small business, Carbonite has plans that will back up all of your computers, servers, and external hard drives for a low, flat annual fee. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code RON and get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com, offer code RON. Al-Qaeda certainly has its roots in American support for the Mujahideen in their war against Soviet occupation in Afghanistan, doesn't it?
There's no doubt about that. In many ways, we were an ally of Osama bin Laden at this time. And he was resentful of the Soviets being in Afghanistan, and we weren't sympathetic to the cause of Afghanistan as much as we were anti-Soviet and wanted to get them out. So we became an ally with bin Laden, who was really the instigator of Al-Qaeda. And for that reason, it's rather ironic on how many times we've been with somebody and then against them. So it was not too much later on, of course, the side switched and Al-Qaeda became our arch enemy. But if you look at it, the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban as well are much more consistent than we are. We flip-flop. We defend one dictator one day and not the next. And just look how much influence Al-Qaeda's had in the Middle East. Right now, there's a war going on. It's been going on for 2 years in Syria. And we've aligned ourselves with rebels, and nobody can define them. All everybody knows in our administration, which includes both parties, they want to get rid of Assad. In order to do that, they're joining Al-Qaeda. So is it any wonder things get mixed up and people get confused? Matter of fact, I think there's a lot of confusion on the definition of Al-Qaeda compared to the Taliban. And in a lot of ways, they're similar. They're both anti-American, and they're both willing to use violence. But the Taliban generally have been willing to be defensive, that is, throw out foreigners that are occupying their homeland. They're more or less defending their homeland. You don't hear the Taliban coming to America, but you hear about the Al-Qaeda. So the Al-Qaeda is strongly anti-American because they resent us being in these countries just as the Taliban does. But they're willing to reach out, and they're much more militant. They're much more dangerous. And, of course, this is what happened on 9/11. Al-Qaeda really wanted to show their muscle and come here and from their viewpoint to teach us a lesson and call attention to the abuse they've been receiving for many, many years. Now, bin Laden, you know, accepted responsibility for this. Some people argue about that, but quite frankly, I think he had a lot to do with it, if nothing else, spiritually speaking. But he gave three reasons. It's not like they work in secrecy. He gave three reasons why 9/11 occurred. And number one was that we had military bases in the Holy Land, which is the Arabian Peninsula, the entire peninsula, especially Saudi Arabia, and he highly resented this. He also did not like the position that we as a country have taken toward the Palestinians and thought we were not treating them fairly. And also, at that, before 9/11, we had been bombing Iraq for 10 years. And Iraq, although run by a secular dictator, things compared to today were rather quiet and balanced. So those three reasons, the Al-Qaeda got the energy and the determination to have 19 individuals, most of them, the large majority, coming from Saudi Arabia, willing to give up their lives. Now, Michael, Robert Pape out of Chicago has written a book, Dying to Win, and explains that people are willing to sacrifice their lives. Suicide terrorism is most correlated one item, and that is occupation. When they see their homeland being occupied, people have resorted to suicide terrorism. I guess in the West, we don't quite understand that, but if we're fighting a battle against people who would like to kill us, we ought to try to understand this. So the suicide terrorists came here, killed a lot of people, and what has happened? Actually, we haven't learned the lesson because the American people have joined in the chorus that was started with President Bush by saying, oh, they're evil people, they're violent, and they want to come here, they can kill us because we're free and prosperous. And, you know, from a personal viewpoint, I know a fair number of Muslim doctors that I've worked with and actually have the benefits of their care in our family. And I'll tell you what, they're pretty Americanized. they enjoy freedom and they enjoy prosperity. So this whole idea that they come here for this reason, I happen to think even dictators, or maybe sometimes dictators are more honest than others. So I believe bin Laden when he said that they come here not to punish us for our freedoms and our prosperity, but because of those other reasons I listed. But, you know, the other sad part about what's happened with the Al-Qaeda, they've been doing a pretty good job of winning. There were three goals that bin Laden set out for himself, and even in his death, he may be smiling in his grave because he wanted us to get bogged down. He thought at least in one Arab Muslim country in the Middle East. He probably never dreamed we'd be bogged down in the whole Middle East and in the Mediterranean and now in Syria and with plans to go into Iran. So he has us bogged down. We're bogged down, and our reaction was exactly what he wanted, and we satisfied that desire. But he had another desire, because it was the same desire he had to harm the Soviets. He says, get them bogged down, but bankrupt them, cause a financial crisis at home. That was a major reason the Soviet system finally came down, was the irresponsible spending in spreading their empire too far. And where are we today? We're in a financial crisis. Our debt is exploding. We need the Fed to print $85 billion a month just to maintain a status quo. Actually, the status quo isn't even that anymore because I think it's slipping and sliding downward. But he also wanted and expected that it'd be a tremendous divide among the American people, as he had witnessed, you know, with the divide with the American people over Vietnam. But I would say this is one place where they have been less successful, and sadly so. You would think there would be a much stronger anti-war movement in this country and a better understanding of Al-Qaeda. And yet today it seems like there's such tremendous support. Now, after this Boston killing that went on, it's actually getting worse because people see, well, this tells you we have to have a greater attack against Al-Qaeda. We have to go and do more things. And that, I think, will only make things worse. You know, about a week before the Boston killings occurred, some of our bombs that we were dropping in Afghanistan, always to do good and always to kill very bad people, even though they never are sure who the bad people are and the good people. But our government argues, well, we're well-intended. Well, about a week before this, not that I think this is directly related to what happened in Boston, but may well be indirectly related. In that bombing that occurred, 17 civilians were killed, 12 of them children. And it wasn't too many years ago when one of our bombs missed a target and killed 30 people in a wedding party. Yes, we should be very, very concerned about this death and destruction and the violence and the hatred, but we have to put this in context of what others are receiving from us. If we don't understand that and understand why people hate us, we can't solve this problem. You know, when I gave my last speech on the House floor of the Congress, the second I listed five concerns. The second concern was the sweeping anti-Americanism around the world, and that we had to come around to understanding what our foreign policy is all about, why there are unintended consequences, why there is blowback, and why we are suffering so much from it. And if we did that, we'd have a better understanding on how to deal with the violence of Al-Qaeda. But unfortunately, that hasn't come about. I'm hoping to participate, of course, in a debate that's ongoing and get both individuals from the left as well as the right and independents to come around with a more sensible foreign policy. Because over the years, our foreign policy was sort of sacred. You didn't challenge another party for foreign policy. So everybody marched lockstep in interventionism. I'm working for the day where this country will march lockstep for non-intervention and offer peace and trade and friendship to other nations, just as our founders had advised us.
Well, that's a good point to take a break, because when we continue in a moment, I want to ask you to tell us a little bit about the brand new Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
You've launched what I believe is a very important new effort to put the issues of peace and prosperity front and center in the public debate, Dr. Paul.
Yes, I thought it was about time we challenged the system that we've been living with for so many decades, the one that produces war and poverty. Some people argue, which I think is a very obnoxious argument, that war gets us out of recessions and depressions, and it stimulates the economy. Every nickel you spend in the military-industrial complex is taken away from the social benefits and economic benefits of people who are willing to work. So we need another option, and fortunately it's been something that Americans once knew about and the Constitution provides for, and that is not to believe that we are perfect people who have the authority and the military might to force ourselves on other countries and other systems. It's not that we endorse what they do, but it's just that there's better results if you offer peace and friendship than war and bombs. Just think how much better we get along with Vietnam now that we don't fight and kill. Just think how much better we get along with China, instead of bombing and fighting and killing each other back in the 50s when I was in high school. So, yes, this offers a lot. And how can anybody argue against the case of peace, against the case for peace and prosperity? And yet today, all I hear mumbling in the Congress and different places is, oh, you know, they're out to kill us. They hate us. We have to, you know, do more and more of this. So I'm excited about this new institute headed up by Daniel McAdams, who had worked on my staff for so many years, who's a real expert in this area. I'm going to do whatever I can to keep this thing going and bring people together. It's one area where I believe we can bring progressives and liberals, independents and libertarians together. How can anybody argue against the case for peace and prosperity?
Well, thank you, Dr. Paul, for another informative conversation and podcast. Congratulations as well on the founding of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. This is Ron Paul's Podcast Nation. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.